stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night, O holy night, O night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. O night, O holy night, O night divine.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, please. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1 this evening. Luke chapter 1. As you find that, if you would stand to your feet as you're able, Luke chapter number 1. I mentioned this morning. I'll announce it again tonight for those that were not here. But if you could help out with this, we'd like to only have water being brought in here, no popcorn and potato chips and sodas and coffees and all that. We're getting some spills and things left in here and all that. So if you could help out with that, I know it is the cold and flu season. If you need to bring water with you or whatnot, or NyQuil, or no, if you need NyQuil, stay home. But if you could help out, that would be great. And then if you, that would be good. All right, Luke chapter number 1. And we're going to look in verse number 26 and read down to verse number 38. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. And the Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this night. And thank you for that holy night when Christ was born. Thank you for the Savior of the world. Pray that you bless this night. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at this passage this evening, I think one of the most incredible people in the story, I would say characters, although it's not a make-believe story, but it is a true account, but I believe one of the most incredible characters in the Christmas story, of course, other than Jesus, would be Mary. And as God used this woman, not perfect, she is not God, sinless, we don't pray to Mary, but what an incredible woman that God would choose to use, and this woman that God would use to have the Son of God. And as you can imagine, as the angel came to Mary and told her what would come, that she would give birth to Jesus Christ, and she said, I know not a man, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and she would give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. And in verse number 38 is a verse I want to focus on tonight, and we'll turn over to Matthew in a moment. I want you to look at Mary's response to what God told her. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She put herself under the authority of God as a servant of God and said, God, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. A handmaid was told what to do, and she would just do it. There was no questioning. She would just fulfill the commands of the master. And she said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. What a great testimony to have when God would speak to us and give us a command, give us an instruction, or tell you that you get to be a part of God's will, which is really greater, as you think about that with Mary, greater than she deserved, if you will, although a beautiful Christian lady, but not perfect. But she said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And then she says this, Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She said, Be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, as you have said, it will be done. And she would follow the commands that God would give to her to the letter of the law. I want you to look in Matthew chapter number 1, please. And we'll not read the whole passage here. Maybe we will, actually. Not the whole passage. We're not going through all the lineages. I'll let you read those from the pulpit later on and see if you can get all those right. Let's read verse number 18 to the end of the chapter. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is the account where the angel would come to Joseph now separately. It says, I'm going to back up to the beginning, verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Look at Joseph's response now. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The angel came to Mary first and told her of this plan that she would give birth to the Son of God, and then would come to Joseph second after she had been conceived of the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ would be born. And the angel came to each of them, and they both had the same response in different wording. And they said, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want, that's what will be done." There was no arguing, complaining, disagreements of any sort. And Joseph's response was that he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. And as Mary had responded, and she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." You think of this, that the command, the instruction that came to them from the angel, from God, that Jesus Christ would be born. But the response was, "Yes, Lord." The response was that they will be obedient and be a part of the will of God in their life. I want to take this truth and use it kind of a bit of as a springboard to give us some truths, I believe, during this Christmas time about honoring Christ at Christmas. Honoring Christ at Christmas. And you think about that, although they had an angelic command, we have the Word of God, the completed Word of God that we hold in our hand. And they had an opportunity to honor and obey the angel of the Lord and obey God and get to be a part of God's will, or they could have chosen to step out of God's will in their life. You understand that, right? They were not forced to be in God's will. They chose to. Although they were chosen, as Mary would say, that she was the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I want to talk to you this evening for a few moments about honoring Christ at Christmas. Honoring Christ. Sometimes that between that instruction time to fulfilling God's will in your life, that could be a dangerous time in our lives. And there's seasons that come and go in our lives, and it may be a season as a holiday season or maybe an instruction from the Lord at different times. But I believe that God would want, and I know that God would want, that we would honor Christ with our life, no matter what season, no matter what time, no matter what place, that we should honor God with our life anytime, any place, all the time, and that it should be our response to the Lord. Be it, as she said, be it unto me according to thy word. What you want, Lord, that's what will be done. I want to honor Christ with my life. In this holiday time, sometimes during the holidays, and I thought about preaching a message similar to this before Thanksgiving. I'm sure you had it all figured out at that time. Just some instructions about honoring Christ at Christmas. It's a challenge to not let your guard down. Not let your guard down. To not back up, because we don't clock in as a Christian and clock out. We don't check in and check out, and I'm a Christian now when I go to church, and when I'm not a Christian anymore. And when it's the holiday times, I'm a Christian. When it's not the holidays, we don't check in and check out as being a Christian. That's a full-time job. That's a responsibility to honor God with our life. Period. So I want to give you a few thoughts, and they all start with S because it had to be alliterated there. The first one is honoring Christ at Christmas, first of all, to be spiritual. May our goal be, not just during a holiday time, but even as an emphasis now, to make the holiday time a spiritual time in our lives. A spiritual time. I preached about it this morning, about that there's a danger of stepping out of God's will. There's a danger of backing up from what God wants you to do, but even during the holiday times, and even that much more, to be spiritual in our lives. The world likes to take over the holidays. To be honest, the world likes to take over every part of people's lives and to try to make it a sinful time. But the holidays are not an excuse to sin. The holidays are not an excuse to walk away from the Lord. The holidays are not an excuse to back up from our responsibilities from the Lord. We should make even more of an emphasis to be spiritual at this time of year. Why? Because right and wrong is the same all year long, no matter what day it is. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And it does not change. And we should be spiritual, walking with God, no matter what day of the year or season it may be. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, listen, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." As he is holy, and he is our example that we should be holy, listen, in all manner of conversation. But how many times in our lives do we say, I'll be holy in these areas, but these areas are the off limits that I can do whatever I want during the seasons, the times, the places, the friendships, and we can kind of check out as being a Christian. May that not be so. Honoring Christ at Christmas, number one, Christmas should be a spiritual time. How dare we take the Lord's birth and to take that as a time to live a wicked lifestyle? How dare we take that as a time to back away from the Lord and to step back from responsibilities and duties and walking with God? To be spiritual, you must stay faithful in your walk with God. Staying faithful in your walk with God. The devil would love to trip you up, to get you to back up just a little bit, to sneak in there. It's so important, Christian, that we protect so much our time with God. It's something that you have to guard. You notice that? You have to guard it. You have to protect it. You have to set aside that time, that place, and get alone with God and say, this is my time with the Lord. Making Christmas a spiritual time is a time to spend time with the Lord. I love during Christmas time and taking extra time to read more about the Christmas story. And to read through the stories and to dig into the truths from that God has given us in the Word of God, whether it be in the New Testament, the Old Testament, stay faithful in your walk with God. Don't back up, don't back down, don't give up. Stay faithful in your walk with God. We're getting close to the end of the year. And sometimes when you get to the end is a time that people start to let up. You see that in a race where you see people that take off in a race and someone starts to let up right at the end. And someone passes them up. Now, we're not in a competition with each other, but the challenge is this, not to back up towards the end of the year. Not to slow up, not to give in, and, you know, the famous thing, we'll all start January 1st, right? I don't know why it's always the diet, you know? January 1st, I'm going to go on a diet. Probably not going to happen. You might. Maybe you will. But what I don't know about January 2nd is the question I have there on that one. But sometimes with our walk with God as well, maybe you say, my walk with God this year has not been great, but January 1st, I'm going to walk with God. Why would we waste the next 3.5 weeks or so, next 3 weeks of stepping back on your walk with God and saying, oh, next year I'll start being faithful to God. Stay faithful in your walk with God, even right now. I want to encourage you with this, parents, as the Christmas time and kids take a break from school, and it seems like they're getting more and more time off of school. We probably shouldn't even give them a break. They should work all the way through. And all the teachers say, oh me, oh my. But I want to encourage you parents with that thought of being that influence with your kids to help your children to either have a Bible time or helping them to establish a walk with God. We work so hard with our kids in our school to help and teach them to walk with God. May we not encourage and instruct and help them, or else there may be a weeks or a month of taking time off from the Lord. Christmas time should be a spiritual time. Not just by coming to church, not just by singing the Christmas carols, but it should be about our personal time with the Lord. Spiritual time by your time with God, but a spiritual time staying faithful to church. Don't skip church during the holidays. Don't skip church during the holidays. Say, I'm traveling to go be with family. Research. We have things called smartphones to help us to find a good Bible-believing church. Unfortunately, just because it says it on the internet doesn't mean it's the right kind of church. I hate to say that. But you go visit family, say they're all gathering Sunday morning to do Christmas stuff. Say, well, I'm going to church. I'll see you later. There wasn't that big of a response on that one. But let's be faithful to church no matter what others are or are not doing. Let's stay faithful to the Lord. Stay faithful to the house of God. Christmas time should not be a time to back up from church. Oh, let's just take it easy. We've got time off or things away. Let's be faithful to church. The Bible says so much the more as you see the day approaching. Staying faithful to your walk with God. Staying faithful to church. Staying faithful to your convictions. To your Bible convictions and beliefs that don't change depending on who's visiting the house or not. Depending on whose house you happen to be at or not and what they happen to turn on the TV or not. Amen? Staying faithful to God with your convictions. Your testimony matters. And your testimony matters even more depending where you could be. And if the situation were to change and you say, this is not right, then they're watching and paying attention to the move that you're making to see if you're real or not. You say, well, everyone else is doing it. If everyone else is doing it and it's not right, then you shouldn't be a part of that, and I shouldn't either. Amen? Our convictions matter even more, I believe, during the holiday time. May we not celebrate Christ's birth by watching dirty movies, getting involved in shows that are not right. People that want to celebrate, you go to Costco, Walmart these times of year, and they're taking alcohol out by the carts. Because the world has no other way to celebrate anything but by drinking and getting drunk. Drinking alcohol is still a sin. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby will eat. God doesn't excuse us, so we should not either. Amen. Staying faithful to your convictions, what you watch, who you spend time with, places that you go. You say, well, everyone from work is going there. If it's not the right place to go, say, you have a good time, but I'm not going there. Well, why not? Because you're a Christian? Yes. Amen. That's a time to be a good testimony to those in your workplace as well, to your family, whoever it may be. You say it could be awkward. Well, if it's awkward, it should be awkward for them, not for the Christian doing what's right. Amen. Honor Christ at Christmas. We'll get to the next points that are maybe more fun. Honor Christ at Christmas, number two, by serving. By serving. Again, the Bible says the greatest of all is the servant of all. Jesus Christ came to be a servant, born in a manger. What a beautiful picture how Jesus Christ came to serve. We talked about it a bit this morning, but Christmas has turned so much into getting. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Black Friday shopping. I don't think most people are there buying for others. They're there to get the good deals for themselves. I'm not sure because I'm a man and I don't go Black Friday shopping. I do Cyber Monday shopping, all right? I don't have any crowds there, all right? Send it to my house. Lazy shopping, but it's smart. But serving. The holidays are not about you. It's about others. It's about others. First of all, it's about the Lord. And then serving others. It's not about what do I get, what do I want, but how can I give and help and serve others? The Bible says the greatest among you shall be your servant. To serve others. I want to encourage you with this. Find someone that's in need and see if you can help them during the holidays. Find someone that has a need. I don't know about you, but I think about our church family and I'm trying to think of, do they have what they need? Do they have enough to provide for their family? I think of this, maybe you could help someone financially and you could make an anonymous gift or buy something for a kid or maybe to appreciate someone that's been a faithful servant in the church or another place, whatever it be, looking to serve and give to others. Wouldn't that be a good thing to teach our children as well? To give to others, not just about getting. Maybe it could be helping someone physically. I think about that with all the leaves falling off the trees. We had Brother Seth and a few of the guys were picking up leaves last night, bagged up all the leaves, only for all that same place to be covered in leaves this morning. And that's a blessing, right? But I think about that with our widows and widowers. And I think, do they have someone to help them at their house to rake up the leaves, clean the gutters, to help them? Do they have what they need to provide for their own? See, most that don't have what they need are not going to ask anyone. Maybe you pray if God would lay a family or someone on your heart that you could be a blessing to someone else in need this Christmas time. And they may say, no, I don't want your help. Say, well, I want to help anyway. Don't offend anybody, but say, I really just want to be a help and a blessing to you. The holidays are so commercialized and so self-centered about getting everything that you want. As a Christian, it should be about giving to others. Because Christ, the Savior, gave His all, came to earth to die and pay for our sins. That's an example that we should be giving, not looking for what we can get from it. Looking to serve. Look for ways to serve. Look for ways to help and to be kind and to have joy in your heart and in your spirit. Serving and helping others. Honor Christ at Christmas by being spiritual, by serving. Number three, by being a soul winner. By being a soul winner. Again, I encourage you again, and I'll keep encouraging. Give out a gospel tract during the holidays. Many people during the holidays are depressed. They are. Thinking of what you don't have, what's missing, the job, the family, the emptiness in their heart because they don't know the Lord, that's a joy and a peace that only Christ can fill. I can't think of a better time of year than to tell others about the Savior that was born than during Christmas time. Tell people the Savior is born. That's what they need to hear. To be soul winning, what a better time to tell of the love of God, of the sacrifice of God, for people to know that they have a home in heaven. Don't be rude, but give people the gospel. Amen? Give people the gospel. Share the love of God. Say, do you know what Christmas is really about? It's amazing how many people today don't really even understand what Christmas is about. I shared it on the Saturday Soul Winning, but I don't want to embarrass him, but a young man that's been coming to the church not that long, saved and baptized, and he was visiting his mom this past, the last weekend, and he said to me, he said, my mom told me, and he said, I told her, I got saved. And he asked her if she knew she was saved, and I said, amen, praise the Lord. And he said, she told me that Christmas time is about when Jesus was born. He said, is that true? And I said, yes, it is. And Christmas for him is a whole different story this year. Again, sometimes we take for granted our salvation, growing up in church, knowing the Bible. Someone has taught you that maybe from a child, and others have never heard the name of Jesus, didn't know that Christmas is about the Savior being born. What a great opportunity to tell someone about the Lord. Honor Christ at Christmas, being a soul winner, speaking up. Number four, and this is kind of a basic one, but being smart. Being smart. I know that it's hard for some. We're driving to church, coming down Bocelli, and someone comes flying down the street around me, and I'm like stepping on the gas. I don't want to get hit by them, and they pull into the middle lane to pass me, and there's not a lane. It's the median. As they pull around me, back into the middle, and then swerving around the next person in there, I was like, not very smart. There's a lot of not smart people out there. There's other terms for that I don't want to teach the children, but not smart. I want to talk to you about being smart in regards to financially. The average American spends $1,000 at Christmas time. The average Christian, average American, I don't know if I say Christian, spends $1,000 at Christmas time. And around 35% of those go in debt during the holidays. I think it's that same percentage, about 30 to 35%, that are still paying for last Christmas right now. That's not smart. There's a creative way to make some cookies and to homemade cards, I don't know, whatever you do, but be smart during the holidays. I'm probably way behind on all you Christmas shoppers. I think most are already done. How many are already done with your Christmas shopping? Already done? Amen. How many of you haven't started yet? All right. I think only the men in the room. Praise the Lord. All right. We got time. Be smart during the holidays financially. Be smart. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, I know I'm going to make it spiritual here. I'm not trying to get rid of Christmas for you kids. Don't worry. But the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We live in such a society that is so social media driven that we are comparing our lives to everyone else on social media because of what they have and how their family looks and all the presents they have and how perfect it all is. And we have all these influencers and the perfect lives they have that really live in their parents' basements, and they're living off of credit cards. You think I'm lying? I'm not. Miserable. I read a just kind of a title for an article this week, and a famous actor said, I wish everyone in the world would know what it would be like to have fame and all the money in the world to realize it's not what it's all thought to be. Be smart. Godliness with contentment is great gain. All the things of this world don't make the kids happy. You know that you give them 10 presents, they're playing with the paper, right? They're playing in the boxes. They don't even care about the presents at that point, so just get them paper and boxes, right? The kids probably aren't going to agree with that. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Again, I'm not trying to get rid of Christmas presents. We do that for our kids and our family. But if your joy for Christmas is around the Christmas tree and it's wrapped underneath, there's joy with that. It's fun seeing the kids open the presents and all the stuff with that. But that's not joy that's lasting. And those bills that you get to pay for the next 12 months, will be lasting. Be smart. Set a budget. Get together with your spouse and set a budget, and then stick within the budget. You know, with spouses, when you do that, when you set a budget and someone blows that budget out of the water and it looks like you got your spouse nothing because you followed the budget. Anyway, be creative. Be creative. Don't compare. Well, their kids are all getting this, so I've got to get my kids that. No, you don't. You don't have to live up to what everyone else is doing. We don't have to live in that social media world. Number five, and lastly tonight, honoring Christ at Christmas. And again, it's an S, but it's smile. To have joy. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Fear not," the angel said, "for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You know, as a Christian, I just believe that Christians can have joy in their life all the time. And I really believe this, that joy comes from your heart, but I believe this, that joy shows up on your face. I don't know if you knew that or not, but joy shows up on your face. It's okay to smile. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to have a good spirit and to have joy. It takes 43 muscles to frown and 17 to smile. Maybe you want to work out and you want to frown more, but have a smile on your face. You know, this time of year that the cashiers are getting berated by people that aren't getting what they want when they want it because of the lines and the stuff. You can just come there and have a smile on your face and say, "How are you doing today?" It'll probably shock them. Say, "Merry Christmas. How's your day going?" And then invite them to the Christmas musical. All right? But have joy. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It continues there. To have joy. As a Christian, how could we live frowning all the time? I don't understand it. I'm not saying everything is a reason to smile and to laugh about, but how can we not have joy with the Lord as your Savior, to know that you're going to heaven, the Holy Spirit in your heart? John 15:11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Are you full of joy today? Are you joyful? We sing all the songs, the Christmas carols, and "Joy to the World," and all the songs that we sing. Doesn't it bring joy? Right? It brings joy to your heart because we're singing about the Savior. Amen? It should point our hearts to the Lord, having joy in your heart. Joy comes from God. Again, joy doesn't come from a present. You can have happiness, and you can have fun with that, but joy truly comes from the Lord. Joy comes from your heart. I believe that joy is shown on your face and on in your speech and in your spirit, that as Christians we should be joyful. Amen? We should be joyful. People shouldn't hear us all complaining and arguing and bad-mouthing and stuff like everyone else is doing. Let's be joyful. Have some joy in our heart during the Christmas time. Making good memories. Think about this. This Christmas time will be unlike any other Christmas time you may ever celebrate. Maybe the family you have this year is not going to be the same as next year. Maybe there's additions. Maybe there's subtractions at the table. Make good memories. Enjoy your time together as a family. Say, "I don't know if I want to get together with a family this year. I mean, I'd rather just stay home." You know, and if there's a good spiritual reason, maybe with that or making it brief, I'm not sure. Use some wisdom with that, but make some good memories. We went out the other night and get the kids in the car, drive around, look at the lights, get free candy canes from the barn, which maybe Joel and I will go tonight. One of the girls is sick tonight. And go get some candy canes, look at the lights, go buy Dutch Bros, go do something, have fun, make some memories as a family. You say, "But it's really expensive." The gas is getting down lower, and so take two trips around the block and see all the lights that you can find around the block. Make some good memories as a family. Make good memories. Reading the Christmas story, good memories. Going to church, good memories. Making something memorable for you and your family. Appreciate what you have. Many times we're always looking at what we don't have instead of what we do have. And that's that godliness with contentment is great gain. Be content with what you have. Too many times we get so stuck on what we don't have, and that's the focus that we have. If I only had this, then I'd be happy. If I only had this, then I'd be happy. And it's maybe something God would have you to have someday, but it's not right now. Be content with what you have. Be content with where God has placed you right now and appreciate what you have right now. Look for the good in what God has given to you. Look for the good. God says he can work all things together for what? For good. God can do that. He'll work it together for good to them that love the Lord, to them are the called according to his purpose. Have joy in your heart. As a Christian, we should be joyful. It should be heard in our voice. It should be seen in our face. It should be shown in our demeanor and our actions that we should be joyful that we're Christians. You're a billboard, not Bilbo. That almost came out wrong. you're a billboard for the Lord. People are watching you as a testimony. Say you're a Christian, and if they know you're a Christian, and many people have a pretty good idea whether you've said it or they've asked, and they're watching you and seeing what testimony that you have in your home, in your workplace, out in public, and they're watching your spirit and your testimony. Let's honor Christ at Christmas. Honor Christ during the holidays. This is the holiday season. Don't lose your testimony. Don't hurt your testimony. Don't hurt your relationship with the Lord. You know, this would be a great time to point others to Christ. Maybe it's that family member that you believe that you'll see this Christmas. Pray that God would give you a chance to be a witness to them, that you'd be a testimony to them, a help, an encouragement to them. Maybe that you can be a help to someone that's struggling and in need, and you can serve and help someone that doesn't have much this year, and you could invite them to join you or bring something to be a help and encouragement to them, to have joy in your heart, to spend time with the Lord. Let's honor Christ this Christmas, head bowed and eyes closed this evening. Let's make our... Let's